So as the baskets go by, you in your heart say, Lord, it's yours. Ushers, you may begin. And as they do, I'm just going to give you about a minute of silence. Just prepare your heart. There's going to be a story today, I guarantee you, that pulls your heart. I don't know which one. There's going to be a story that you relate to more than another. I don't know which one. So would you prepare your heart and say, God, if you speak to me today, I'll listen and I'll obey. Jesus, just together, I'm going to voice it out loud. It's all yours. And Lord, would you do what only you can do? And would you just give us the wisdom and the discernment, the self-discipline to handle these finances in a way that honors you so that your goals are accomplished, not our goals, but your priorities. That's what we desire to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, if I'm wearing a t-shirt on Sunday, usually there's a reason for it. A couple of weeks ago, I was wearing the He Wears a Crown t-shirt because I was representing for Brian McCleary and just so pumped about his album. Today, though, I'm wearing a Conquer t-shirt. Conquer, I guess I should turn like that so you can read it. Conquer is the name of is a course that we have that helps men become, not only walk in sexual purity, but also become a champion of sexual purity. There's probably no greater threat to men's spirituality right now than the kind of issues that go along with this, with the things that we deal about with Conquer. I'm being mindful of the fact that we've got all ages in here right now. But there are a group of men that are about to start that course. And I just want to recognize not just them, but I want to recognize every man who's walked through the Conquer course. Would you stand up with me for just a second? Just stand up. If you've been through the Conquer course, you're going through the Conquer course. Keep on standing because I just want to pray over you. Jesus, Lord, would you continue? We want to not just walk in sexual purity. We want to become champions of sexual purity. God, we want to be defenders of women. We want to be men who raise up other men and our boys and to walk that path, Lord, so that we can accept and embrace everything you have for us. We don't want any part of us to be imprisoned by lust, Lord. We don't want any part of us to miss out on the joy that you have promised us and that you died to give us. So, Lord, I pray for these men that are standing. Let them continue to walk in it. Let us grow in becoming champions of purity and freedom in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. All right, next time you wear your t-shirts too. Hey, well, okay, so I told you we're going to have stories this week. There's so many. I'm so excited about it. You know, we talk a lot at Crossbridge about the Holy Spirit. And I was with a friend just yesterday. I drove in from Waco early this morning because I had to make sure the Baylor Bears were going to beat Stephen F. Austin last night. And do we have any Stephen F. Austin Lumberjacks here? I want to acknowledge you. Okay. It's a 5A high school east of here. And hey, nobody raised their hand so I can make jokes about them. So we zipped in, you go to a football game after being out of college, you know, for 10 or 15 years like I have been, and wow, you're not even going to go with me on that. So it wasn't high school, I said college. So you go back to your college after all these years, and it's kind of like a little reunion. I was seeing people, and I saw a person I haven't seen in quite a number of years, but as we were talking, she sometimes tunes into our live stream. So welcome if you're on the live stream right now. Sometimes she listens to it afterwards, but she said something to me that was really significant. She said, "You were talking about the Holy Spirit the other week in a way that I've never understood it," she said at the time. "So I've always believed in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but I've always sort of thought of the Holy Spirit kind of as this amorphous, I don't know, maybe like a Christian conscience. But you were talking about the Holy Spirit like it was a he, like he was a, and you could have a personal relationship with him." And she said, I've never experienced him like that. And then you started talking about how to discern the spiritual voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, like Jesus talks about in John 10 and 14 and Romans 12 and James 1. She said, you were talking about like you could discern his spiritual voice. And I've never done that. But ever since you started talking about that, I just started wanting to know him. I started wanting to hear his voice. And she said, everything has changed for me. And she was so excited to share that. And here's the deal. The cool thing about that for you all is that in our church, we don't just teach. We often do very practical. I kind of treat this like a lab. I'm like, hey, I got you here. Let's practice something. Let's do something. Let me show you how to do something so that it can make a difference in the other 6 days of your week. And because you allow me to do that and you go in all in with me, it allows other people that are watching us on the live stream or checking on the podcast to learn these same things too, even though they may not come in here. So today though, the first story I wanna share is of the Travis family. I want Jesse and Judy and Ainsley to come up on stage with me. Let's give it up for them. So, and it, because their story has to do, come on up, their story has to do with learning to hear his voice and the difference it makes and the kinds of things he says. How many of you are parents out there? Raise your hand if you're a parent. Okay, you know that one of the biggest things that parents wrestle with is the fear of, oh, are my children, are they getting it? Do they know Jesus? Are they going to wind up, what's going to happen to them as they get older? And I'm so inadequate. Maybe that's just Debbie and me, but I think it's all of us. And so the other day, I think it was in the summer that we did this. We were talking about, I forget what, but at the end, I gave everyone a listening card and an opportunity to wait on the Lord. We talked about how you can discern the Holy Spirit and how you know it's him and not someone else or something else. And so we did that. But in this case, Ainsley, how old are you, Ainsley?
10.
You're 10. Okay. So Ainsley was in here with us. And the story they're going to tell has to do with her experience. So step up so they can see you and tell the story, Jesse.
All right. So like Kurt was saying, most of you who are parents, you know, we keep this kind of mental tally in our mind of parenting wins and fails. You know, and oftentimes the fail category has more check marks than the win, like the cardinal sin of, you know, forgetting to cut the crust off the sandwich or giving the wrong jelly to the wrong kid or even forgetting to feed them all together.
No, you didn't.
It happens.
No, you didn't.
Yes. Ham and cheese, ham and turkey. There's a difference. So like Kirk said, a couple, you know, tonight, luckily we don't have to talk about all our failures as parents, but we get to celebrate a win today that will, a big win for us. So it actually negates the fact that I put diaper paste instead of toothpaste on the baby's toothbrush the other day. So like Kirk was saying, it was about...
Okay, we're going to vet these testimonies next time a lot better, I promise.
About a month and a half ago, we were here in service, and like Kirk said, he was going through the whole, you know, just stop waiting, listening to God, and we had Ainsley with us, and to be honest, Junie and I, you know, we talked about, we didn't even know if she was really paying attention, because at the time, she seemed more concerned about the sucker that was being passed out than what was actually going on. But then at the end of the service, when Kirk said, you know, pull out your card and just actually stop, pray, listen, and then write down what you're hearing the Holy Spirit speak to you about, and then you know, and then write down what you're going to do to kind of listen to that. So you know, she dutifully filled out her card and put it away. Later that afternoon, as Judy was cleaning up, she came across the card, and you can see what Ainsley wrote. And at the time, she was only 9, so we've had a birthday between then and there. But when we read it, it was a really convicting moment for us as parents, because she wrote this without any prompting, any coaching. I mean, this was her, and it came from her heart and her voice and what she heard. And it was just pretty, like I said, it was just really convicting for us as parents that we need to spend less time worrying and nurturing those worldly relationships, but more time actually feeding her spiritual relationship. Because if she can grasp this at 19 years old, you know, when those formidable, really hard years come, where is she going to be? So we had the opportunity to take an Art of Parenting class year or two ago. And one of the quotes that came across was, young kids just need to know that God made them, he made them special and unique, and he loves you. Repeat that to them 10,000 times a day, and they're going to be fine. So we may not do it 10,000 times a day, but we try to do it once or twice a day. And just the impact that has is pretty significant. And we're just incredibly blessed that we had the opportunity to share this moment with Ainsley. And you know, sometimes we get so caught up in the busyness and the difficulties of life that we just need to humble ourselves and have the faith of the child. And like her card said, remember that we have an awesome shepherd. And at the end of the day, we just need to be sheep. So yeah.
Did we show the back side of the card just then? Can you? Okay, there it is. Okay, show the front side again. Okay. Come to you. I will come to you. This is her I will statement for comfort. For you are my father and my comforter. I will be your sheep. That's John 10:27. All right, Ainsley, so I want to ask you, I mean, I know Dad just did all the talking, but could you hold on to the mic for a second?
Okay.
And is there anything you want to tell us about what you heard or about what you wrote on the card? Kind of hold it up here like this.
Well, I've kind of been going through some tough times at school lately, and God just kind of has been speaking a lot to me lately, and just means a lot to me that I have him in my life.
Amen. That's great. All right, I'll let you guys sit down, unless you want to say something, Judy. No, you're okay. I'll take that. But, you know, here's the deal. It is one good thing to remember is that parenting is not rocket science. It is relationships, but it's not rocket science. And remember that thing Jesse said about he learned in the Art of Parenting. In fact, I wasn't going to make an ad for this, but I think in the bulletin today, we're promoting the Art of Parenting class. And we want to help you be successful. We want to equip you. One of the top 5 things we do at Crossbridge is equip parents to be disciple makers of their kids. But really, what we're really doing is just facilitating a relationship, sort of, in a sense, getting out of the way so that our kids can actually experience Jesus. I know when our kids were little, when they would bring us a problem that they weren't sure about, sometimes that's a moment when we would say, why don't we just be still and see if Jesus has anything to say right now? We were teaching them. I mean, he's as closer than a brother, right? He tore the veil, if you understand that the significance of that metaphor. He literally tore the veil that separated us from God and, you know, separated us from God. So now we can actually access him and discern when he's impressing things upon our hearts and on our minds. So we would say, hey, let's just ask Jesus. Now, you don't want to do that when you're disciplining. You know, when your kid's in that disobedient stage, you don't want to say, hey, why don't we be still and see if Jesus has anything to say to you right now? You don't want to do that. That's manipulative, and you don't want to do that. But when they come to you and you're on their side facing an outside problem, that's a great time to wait on the Lord. You know, in any time you read a scripture at home, and you can say, hey, let's just be quiet for a moment. Just see if God gives us anything that he might want us to do or say to us about this. When you normalize that, and this is scriptural, by the way. You might not have been taught it as for yourself as a parent, but it is scriptural. John 10:27 is exactly what Ainsley was expressing in her I will statement. But when we normalize that, our kids will jump on it because they were made for relationship with Jesus. And that's a great way to just connect them to it. Okay, so I got another story for you. This one is from Lindsay Outlaw. Come on up, Lindsay. Let's get it for Lindsay. Lindsay, I don't know how to start because I know that you went to Costa Rica this summer, right?
I did.
Was that like the first time you'd gone on an outreach like that, or had you done one before? I forget.
Yes, I'd been to Costa Rica before, but I had never been on a mission trip before.
So, okay.
And I took my son Gus, and we went on that adventure, and it was a first for both of us.
Wow, tell us about that. What was significant?
Well, for me personally, what was significant was like our intention. My husband and I had always planned on taking our kids on a mission trip before they graduated. And we were at that stage where our son is heading into his senior year. So it was like, ooh, it's time. And so because I had been to Costa Rica before, I went to college there and did a yoga teacher training there as well. I felt most comfortable taking him on a foreign mission trip there. So that was like the amount of thought we put into the locations, like, oh, I'm familiar with that place. But what I didn't realize was like how God worked ahead of us, and he had a perfect spot for both of us to plug in and serve. So like Gus is passionate about serving kids and playing sports, and I'm a yoga instructor, and they like needed one there of all things. So I guess that was the most impressionable part of that for me, is just how tailored the experience was by God to use us in helping.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And what did you see? Did you see God do anything in the lives of others? Any story that you go, wow, that was powerful?
Well, what I would say is the entire process of going on mission was that you kind of put your entire life, you table it and you show up and you're like, God, I am here to do your work. And you're like looking to do it. And there are so many opportunities that present itself for you to share the love of Jesus and the hope of Jesus with others. Mm-hmm. So,
and the other thing too, this is not related to Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. This is related to what you told me mm-hmm. way back. Mm-hmm. You prepared to tell me a little bit about that too if I ask you a
yes.
question too? Okay, so I always want to check with people before I do that. They may be on stage. You may be on stage when I check with you, but I'll check with you. Okay. Can I say this? In the same way, I don't know, it may have been the same week that Ainsley wrote down mm-hmm. that on her card. Mm-hmm. You came up after we had done the listening cards thing and said that God had done something pretty significant. Can mm-hmm. you share that story?
Yes. Too? Well, it's funny. Like, I didn't know any of this in advance, but my story was very similar to Ainsley in that, you know, my family is relatively new to Crossbridge, and, you know, I'm an introvert and I don't really love being on stage, but like I truly love and have a passion for God's stories. And I wanted to share, if you are new or like checking Crossbridge out, and like Kirk described, what he does up here is as a lab. And I think that's so awesome because it's practical. So I've been going to church for years, but anytime there was that exercise where we were given the little interactive card and the golf pencil, like it freaked me out, right? So I would just kind of like doodle and like try to listen, but I never really got anything.
Why did it freak you out though?
I felt waves of panic, right? Like in no uncertain terms, I felt like maybe Crossbridge was like a varsity Christian team. And I wasn't on like the varsity team. Like I didn't know or have the skills to do it. So I just felt really kind of squirrely and panicky. And that was really brought to a head when we went to a women's retreat, and we had joined a life group. And if you're not familiar with that, it's like people just get in each other's homes and sort of study the word and share life. And I ended up on the women's retreat because Amy Puritan like texted me and was like, Lindsay, did you sign up? Right. And so I did. And I went, and one of the speakers was talking about her Bible time was like this sweet daddy-daughter time. And when she said that, like I felt physically ill because when I sat and I waited on the Lord, like I didn't feel anything remotely close to sweetness. So as it turned out, like months before the women's retreat, I signed up for Freedom Prayer. And again, if you're new to CrossBridge and you don't know anything about Freedom Prayer, like, go to the website, sign up, and like show up when it's your turn. And it's this really amazing process of prayer and meeting with other people that brings about a lot of healing. Has anyone in here done a Rosti? Anything? All right, so it's like this really physical thing when they like get up in your pain and press it through. And Freedom Prayer is like a really sweet, helpful time when we do that. So there's no like great psychological mystery or like it's not unique to me, but I didn't have a close and loving relationship to my earthly father. So I kind of put that on the Lord a little bit, and that was a lie that I believed. But the truth is, just like the songs we sang beforehand, like I'm a child of God. I can hear God's voice, and the Lord tells us again in John 10:27, like my sheep know my voice. So through Freedom Prayer, I sort of went through the process where like I removed myself from that lie that I couldn't hear, that I wasn't like varsity Christian enough to hear God's voice. And the next time church happened and the cards and the golf pencils were passed out, like I heard something, and it was from Luke, and I felt God tell me, like, I want your peace to come from the inside out, not from the outside in. And that certainly wasn't me, because like I would want like a Roomba and like extra housekeepers and like all the peace coming from the outside in, but like God's truth is that he wants it to come from him from the inside out. So I got really excited that I no longer felt panicky when we went through that, and I shared that with Kirk. And anyway, that's my TED Talk.
How's it changed? That's your TED Talk. How's it impacted you? How's it changed things since that happened for you?
Well, the way it's built my confidence in hearing the voice of God and knowing that it's him. So I'm just more sensitive to it, and I feel like I hear it a lot more now, and it makes me feel more confident and calm and relaxed.
Man, that sounds exactly like what a good daddy would want his girl to feel.
That's it.
There we go. Thank you, Lindsay, for sharing today. You know, when we talk about hearing the Lord, you know, the number one way to hear the Lord, the best way, most reliable way, is read his word. He's already spoken. It's right there. And what he loves to do when we read his word and then we wait and meditate, which mainly means thinking about it with him, is he loves to make it personal. He doesn't give us something that's contradictory to his word. What he loves to do, though, is make his word personal and applicable to your life. You know, when our kids were little, and I say this because God is a father, and if like Lindsay, you didn't have the best of fathers, and so maybe that that image is hard, is an obstacle for you. Don't search for another image. Deal with that one. Deal with that one, because God says he's a father, and what he's telling us is, hey, don't project the failures of your dad onto me. I'm the best of dads. Let him redefine what a father is for you. And you get in his word and you read it, and he will speak to you. He's not hiding. He's not making it hard. In fact, this stuff that we do is actually not varsity. It's funny, like Lindsay said that. This is not the varsity team. This is Christianity 101. You, as his child, now deserve, you now deserve and have the right to experience him. And so it's not the varsity team. This is like 101. If you're playing at all, if you're on the team with Jesus, you have the right to experience him, and he wants you to. That's why he came to the earth. And I'm so glad that Lindsay stood up and shared that. You know, when God speaks to us, he's generally drawing us to a place, to a better place. That's why Jesus said he had had come to give us an abundant life. He wants you to have the best life, and he knows what that best life is. And it may not be Aruba, just to break it gently to you. You know, it may not be Aruba and the extra housekeepers. Maybe so, okay? If so, enjoy it and be generous with it. But he's going to take you to the best, and you can trust him with that. And when you go there, you're going to see him do things that you've never seen him do before. You'll see him do things in your own home, in your workplace, in your school, in your city. And if you go somewhere else, like Lloyd Lewis, who's about to come up on stage, Lloyd went with us to Uganda this year. We were on a number of outreaches. You know, some of our outreaches are local, like the Kindle outreach is going to be at September 21st. And then some of our outreaches are on the far side of the planet because Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. And so that's what we do. So Lloyd, and I've gotten to see Lloyd. I remember the first day you all came and you and Carla and I were sitting back in the office. I think just the two of us that day, or the three of us, which everybody loves on their first Sunday. So they came, and then the Lord said to Lloyd and to Carla to go to Uganda, and God included Lloyd in some pretty cool stuff. Would you share that story?
Yeah. The Lord was just so wonderful. It's like we walk around with these T-shirts on that you know, spell out Acts 1:8 as you know, the Lord gives us the power. We go out and be his witness to the ends of the earth. And I realized that about the second day I was in Uganda. As we went out, we went about 3-4 miles down, and we were walking through, you know, a lot of banana tree forests and were jungles and just going from little huts to huts, houses. And we came upon this house, first one. Well, it was the second one that day, that the mother came out and invited us in, and it was a family of six. And so she called her whole family in there, and we sat there and we shared the gospel with them. We sat there and drew all the bridge on the floor, on the ground, and it was like they were just all amazed. And really, what really happened was the two teenage girls that were there were getting so excited. It was like, you know, after we finished sharing and they all surrendered, and the minister that the pastor that we were with was doing some things with them as they surrendered to Christ. And then I read Timothy 1, 2, 3 through 5, explaining to them how pleasing it is to the Lord when you are saved. And so the two teenage girls got so excited about being filled with the Holy Spirit. They stayed with us the rest of the day, took us to about 18 different houses, but they wanted to hear the gospel over and over and over again. And really what this did, it led us to the second to last day before our group started doing the baptisms. The pastor that I was with, and there were only four of us, two pastors, but our head pastor that was with us, and a translator and myself. And the Lord put on Pastor Patrick's heart, let's go down out about 7 miles. Now, we had only been out 3-5 miles max away from the church, but he led us down, and they dropped us off about 7 miles out, and we're walking down the dirt road, and we found this one house that's sitting next to this huge open field. And so we go up to the house, and they invite us in, and so we start sharing the gospel with them again. We draw the bridge on their floor and explain to them, you know, how wonderful it is to be saved in with Jesus coming into your life and accepting Christ as your Savior. And so this household, again, they accept Christ. They are just really excited. But what we didn't know until we're sitting there afterwards, we're taking down the pastor's name of the family members and everything, and all of a sudden he stops us and he says, don't go. He says, I want you to share this with my tribe, with my entire village. And so we're thinking, okay, usually, you know, 2-3 families that come down. But he asked us to go into this open field. And this is where, you know, Matthew 28, go out and make disciples and the Lord will be with you. We got out to that field, and over the next 40 minutes, we found out we had found a lost village. There was no religion in this village. There wasn't, sometimes when we went out, you know, you'd run into some Catholics or some Muslims. But there was nothing that they knew. Nobody had ever come down. They said, we don't get visitors. And of course, I'm this token white guy that they've never hardly seen. They want to touch my skin and everything. But over the next 40 minutes, 72 people, men, women, children, teenagers, mothers carrying infants, start pouring out of these banana tree jungles down the dirt path. And the four of us are sitting there. And it's like, we are just overwhelmed. I mean, you know, when you know, in Luke 10:2, where it says, you know, there are not enough workers, how big the fields are and everything, and the harvest is large, but the workers are few. The four of us, we were just, and I couldn't even have the translator with me, so I'm just drawing pictures on the ground, and I'm speaking English to these crowds as they stand around us in little groups, but the four of us broke into each area, and we are just sharing the gospel. We had 27 people surrender to Jesus while we were there. It was so amazing. The mothers, because the children there, they have a huge malaria problem. And so we sat there and we prayed also over the small babies and the children because of the malaria. But we sat down and we took everybody's names down. And the pastor said he was going to come back. And I heard from the pastor, he's gone back. They've started a church in the little village. He goes there once a week to share fellowship with them. He's got them singing songs, and he's teaching them more and more about the gospel. And so this is like, you know, they tell us to go out. And this was going out, and we found this lost village. And it was just amazing what God did in our eyes, and he knew exactly where to send us.
Hey, you're not going anywhere yet, Lord. I got some questions for you, man. You said some stuff that raises some questions. Tell me this. How would you describe yourself? I'm not talking about Crossbridge, like pumping Crossbridge up, but where were you when you first came to compare to where you are now in terms of knowing Jesus?
Well, I can tell you it's like going from one extreme to the other because I did not have a relationship with the Lord before I came to Crossbridge. And now I have such a fantastic relationship with the Lord, being able to speak to him, to hear him, and to be able to share. I mean, not only did I have a chance to do that, this was my first big mission trip. I've been to Mexico a couple of times, but this was really my first big mission trip where I got to go out and share the gospel with others. I do this every week with a blaze with the teenage boys, and I love them to death. And I know they love it too. But the difference from where I was to where I am now, it's just, like I say, it's one extreme to the other. It's so amazing what the Lord's doing with us. Mm.
Let me ask you this too. Would you say you're an extrovert or introvert?
I'm kind of more of an introvert, I guess.
Is talking on stage, is that what you'd love to do?
I don't mind doing it. Okay. I mean, yeah, I guess because of the jobs I've had over many years, yeah. I was an instructor at times, and I like to stand up and talk.
Well, I want to say this to him. I want to say this to him in front of you all, too, because the power of what you're saying today, I mean, comes primarily from your knowledge of Scripture. You know, it just flows out of you. And you four or five different times says this, and you just spoke a Scripture, Matthew 28 or whatever. And that's where power, and the reason I say that is because you don't have to be a rock star. You don't have to have some graduate degree. You just got to walk with Jesus and keep walking with people. And his word, he says about his word that it is a sword, and a sword is meant for battle, and it empowers you. And we have the sword, and it is the sword of the Spirit. And you can tell that Lloyd has that, right? And he told you where he came from to where he is. And I'm just saying that's who he has. God has this for all of us, more and more and more. And you know, it's just, I was with Lloyd in Uganda, and it was just so cool to see it. But just as cool as this story was, and some other things that we saw in Uganda, what I really, really am amazed by is Lloyd's faithfulness every week with those teenage boys in a blaze. Just every week. He doesn't have kids at home anymore. He could be doing anything else. He binge watching American Idol or something. But instead, oh, is it on? And but instead, he's investing in the lives of others, and he just gets to share in the things that God's doing. So thanks, Lloyd. Let's give it up for him. Thank you, buddy. You know, when you obey, like Lloyd obeyed and went to Uganda, and I'm not pushing the Uganda thing. Oh, but let me say this. You know, Lloyd mentioned the bridge. He said, so I went there and I drew the bridge. If that's new to you, the bridge is a way, is a picture that we use to visualize the gospel for people. Like we can say, you know, that we're separated from God because of the sin in our life, and Jesus came to become a bridge. But what we do is we draw that out so people can see what we're saying, so that they can assimilate it more easily. And if you're interested in learning how to share that bridge illustration, Tuesday night at 7, this coming Tuesday, I'm going to be leading a seminar for an hour on how to share the bridge illustration, so that when you're walking and through life and someone shares something and you pray for them, perhaps just to encourage them, you might have the opportunity to say, could I show you a picture that someone showed me that really made a difference in my life? So if you'd like to learn that, then you can, okay, don't worry about share 27, but if you will text share 3 right now, pull out your phone, at least pretend like you're doing something, okay, with me, pretend like you're signing up for my seminar. You don't have to, but if you will text share 3 is for 3rd of September, I'm going to teach how to share your faith. Just text it to this number right here, and we'll text you back automatically all the details and the location. But it's going to be an hour at 7 o'clock in a couple of days, okay? So join us for that. Okay, one more story for you. You know, when you obey Jesus, you put yourself in a position to see him do what only he can do. And sometimes he does little things, and sometimes he does huge things. And sometimes we're not very good measures of what he's doing, because we only see what we see in the span of time that we're there with someone. But I want Lex Lopez to come up. Let's give it up for Lex right now. And Lex is going to share a story of God's power. So go for it, bro.
Good morning. Hey. My name is Lex. And this summer, I had the opportunity to spend about 2.5 months in the Middle East. And I just kind of want to tell you about the power of God, the power of his word, and the power of God given to us through the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm sorry, guys. This is nuts. Let me just tell you right now, if you do not believe it, you know, mountains are still being moved. Giants are still literally being slain. There's a song that says that. Okay, I'm just going to stick to the script. Okay, so here it is. About a month ago, I go into this area where we're living, predominantly Pakistani area, in a red light district. Literally nobody's speaking English, and I'm just like, Father, would you just lead me to somebody that speaks English? And finally, I come across these two guys sitting on a bench, two African men from Burundi. And I have no idea where that's at. Well, now I do, but previously did not know. Just went up to them and I was like, hey, I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? And they said, no, we're Muslims. I said, okay, it's fine. Let's pray. I love you guys. And so we prayed. We hung out. I asked if they wanted to read the Bible, and one of them says yes. And so I was like, okay, let's do it. Psalm 23. This guy's afraid of dying. We're going to read it. So I started reading a couple verses, handed the Bible over to the guy. And he says, well, I actually can't see that well. Like, the lights, everything around me is very dark. I only see vague shapes. And I'm like, okay, I don't think anything of it. I mean, I have a Bible app. I can play the audio, whatever. So I played the audio instead. And so we're listening to it. And he's like, man, this pierced my heart. I said, that is the word of God. And so in that moment, I just felt the Holy Spirit ask me, hey, ask Kudra what if he's ever had a dream about a man in white. And Kudra says no. I'm like, ah, okay. I said, and the Holy Spirit says, what about a man surrounded by lights? And as soon as I said that, Kudra looks at me and he says, yes, 2015, a man kneeling on the street praying with voice, like a voice that just echoed louder than anything I've ever heard. He says, and lights were shooting out from around him. And I said, well, did you talk to him? He's like, no, I was just so afraid. And I said, well, okay, I believe I know who that man is. And he says, well, tell me. I said, no, I want you to find out yourself. So we went to Revelation 1. And in Revelation 1, I played it in his language. And once we got to about verse 15, where it begins saying, like, you know, his voice, this is Jesus. This is a vision from John, like, that Jesus gave John. And it's a description of Jesus. And he says, his voice was as loud as rushing waters, right? Then we get to verse 16, and it says something about, out of his mouth came a double-edged sword, and his face shone as bright as the sun. And if you haven't read Revelation 1, go do that. Come on. So his face shone as bright as the sun. In that moment, he hits pause upon my phone, and he says, that is the man in my dream. The man in my dream is Jesus. And yeah. And so right then and there, I was like, come on, this is, guys, God is alive. He's moving. Let's go. Okay. In that moment, I was like, the Father brought back his blindness into my head. I said, you know what? That man that was in your dream in 2015 is pursuing you. You moved here 2 months ago. I moved here 2 months ago. And I said, and he wants to heal you today. And guys, that is not my power. I'm not that bold of a guy. But I said, Kutra, tell me what you see. He's like, well, I can't see anything. I said, there's a boat in front of us. Can you see the boat? He says, no, just a very vague outline. And I said, can you read the sign? He says, not at all. I said, all right, well, we're going to pray to Jesus. And when you open your eyes, you're going to be able to see better than you've ever seen in your life. So I closed my eyes and I was like, oh, Father, like, would you just heal this man's blindness, his physical blindness, and would you open his spiritual eyes to see you? And so I say, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. And he just sits there. I was like, okay, yeah. About a minute or two passed, and I said, so tell me. And he looks at me, he says, it's honestly probably because my eyes were closed for this long, but everything looks so bright around me. I've never been able to see this before. He says, and you see that boat over there? This is what that sign says. And you see that guy over there? Hey, and by the way, do you see that light across the river that I said, Kudra, no, I can't see that. Like, anyways, he's like, okay, good. Yeah, whatever. Anyways, this man was healed of blindness that he's had all his life. Come on, like, praise Jesus. And that is not from my power, but that is through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power that's given through us, through the blood of Jesus. And so that just doesn't happen overseas. That happens here. And the thing is, John 15 says, you know, abide in me, the vine dress. You know, Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. We don't have to worry about producing fruit. We have to worry about abiding in him, being in the word, you know, praying without ceasing. And through that, the fruit comes. Because we just worry about being in the vine. So hope y'all are encouraged. That's it.
Wow. So, thanks. That, I'm going to give it back to you.
Yeah, right.
So tell me, let's walk up here a little bit.
Sure.
So when you say, how did you start with Kutra? Because I know explain that a little bit more.
Yeah, well, like, so I just went up to him and I was like, hey, I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus?
Right. And the reason you did that, though, that's not how you've been doing it, right?
No.
No. How had you been doing it?
Well, you mean like relationally and just kind of, okay. So usually with outreach, and especially with this certain people group, it's more of like a relational slow process. You know, we gradually open up the door to prayer. And see how that goes. And if they're open, we pray for them. We're searching for people of peace. Kind of, it's in Luke 10 as well. But
what's a person of peace?
A person of peace is somebody that is accepting of the gospel, who's ready to share the gospel, and who seems to, be ready to accept Jesus into their hearts.
Yeah, really open.
Yeah, very open.
Yeah. So you'd been going the normal way of just engaging in conversation. And if they shared something, you'd pray for them and walk it that way. But you hadn't seen God do a whole lot.
That day,
and you felt like today you needed to just flat out be bold and just jump up there.
Yeah. And it was a part of the city that we've never been to. We hopped on a little boat, traveled across the river, and literally everyone we tried to engage did not speak English. And I was like, well, we could close it up early, boys, but God had other plans.
Okay, and then when Kutra talks about his blindness.
Yes.
And we haven't planned this, so I'm just asking real questions here. You know, that seems like, wow, you just told him that Jesus is going to heal him. Yeah. Why did you tell him that? What gave you confidence that that was going to happen?
So, what is it? 1 John, it says, like, perfect love casts out all fear, and those who have fear have not yet, you know, experienced, like, the perfect love, right? Or hopefully that was right. But so through that, okay, honestly, I'm going to tell you the straight-up truth. The reason why we need to be bold is because the next possible opportunity you might see this person is in heaven. And if that's not an urgency, then we have something to work out with the Lord. And so I was like, look, literally this man moved there 2 months ago. And I said, something has to be done. And the father was just like, look, like, I think it's, I don't know, John 14 again, about Jesus telling us how he's going to give us the Holy Spirit. And he describes the Holy Spirit as a helper. And like, he was the help in that time. And he was the one doing the miracles. Mm-hmm. And so we just have to be open, receptive, and obedient to what he's asking us to do.
Yeah, and when you listen to him, he's going to tell you this is the time, because you don't always say that to people.
Yeah, no.
You know, but you knew then, because what the Holy Spirit loves to do. And you may go, gosh, you know, I don't have, you know, Lex has been with us for a long time, and everybody loves Lex, and he is outgoing, never met a stranger, can strike up a conversation with anybody. That may not be you, okay? Boldness may look different on you than it looks on Lex, all right? But when you are in the Word and you're listening to the Holy Spirit and you're willing to obey, God's going to give you that next step. He's going to tell you, like for in this case for Lex, you know, the Lord wants to heal you right now. He may tell you something else, but the Lord will speak. He's not going to leave you hanging. He wants to include you in something amazing, but we got to obey. And it may, again, it may look different for you. And I don't want you to think, oh, well, I could never do that, or oh, this is the varsity team, like Lindsay had felt at one time. God wants to use you the way he made you. Your personality reflects him in a different way than maybe Lex's does, or maybe you're like Lex. But God wants to include you in something, an adventure that's unique and special for you, just the way you are, as you listen and obey and trust him. And that's the story. That's the step that I want you to hear. And I want you to have the confidence, too, to know that God is still moving mountains, and God still does the miraculous. And there's so many more stories I could tell. I just wanted you all to hear Lex's. Anything else you want to say?
No.
All right, give me that. I know you.
The thing is, Kirk always pushes this, and it's really transformational. In your times with the Lord in the morning, literally just ask him, how do you want to include me in the kingdom today? And like, if it's a small little thing, be obedient, because those who are faithful in the small will be trusted with a lot. It says it in the scripture. So ask the Lord how he wants to include you today. Every day, you can't go wrong. Like, there's urgent. People need to know Jesus. People need to see Jesus through you. And when you're included, you can't go wrong.
Amen. There we go. Thanks, buddy. I got it. Lex drove in from A&M. There we go. Just wanted to give you a little chance to get that out of your system. To share that story. To share that story with you. Because he loves you. This is his church. And he wants you to be encouraged. You know, that's what we want. We want this to be an encouraging place. A place where wherever you are, like Lloyd said, he was way over here. You know, did not have a personal relationship with Jesus. I mean, this is a place to start wherever you are to just take that next step. Just that next step. We're all just doing that, aren't we? Anybody done taking steps? No. Let's just take it together, and we're going to see God move and work and include us in things like that and in lots of other amazing things. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let me pray over you before we leave for the morning. Jesus, And just why don't you hold your hand out, just in your lap, hold it open. Like you're going to get something. Jesus, we just tell these stories. And they're just stories of real people who are really following you. And Lord, would you give us more this week? We're holding out our hands, God. We need more of you. More, a deeper relationship with you. Maybe it's not we need more of you. You need more of us. Maybe there's something that we need to relinquish or surrender or get rid of or renounce or repent of. Whatever it is, give it up. Give it up. And when you give it up and let go of it, Jesus swoops into that place. The Holy Spirit swoops into that place. And he begins to plant seeds of love, seeds of joy, seeds of peace and patience in your life. He'll plant seeds of kindness and gentleness. He'll plant seeds of faithfulness, and seeds of self-control in you. I mean, the kind of seeds that change your life. And so maybe today your hands are open saying, Lord, plant those seeds in my life more. Include me this week in something. Give me a story. Maybe for telling, maybe not for telling, but just a story, Lord, because I want to know you more. Tell him that in your heart. He loves to answer that prayer. So Lord, I do pray that you would answer the prayer. Give them more this week, Lord. Give us more. That not only we might know you better, but the world might know that you're alive and that you love them. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, next week, we're going to start a new series. It's called Surrounded. And you got a card like this, I believe, when you came in. If you didn't, on the way out, I want you to pick up one of these. Surrounded is just a way that we talk about spiritual warfare. At times, you feel, I bet, surrounded by negative thoughts and lies that are in your mind of not being good enough, of being a failure, of not mattering. You get surrounded by the regret and the shame of the past and sometimes worry and fear about the future. But God says that we can wield his word like a sword and win the day against those lies and those negative thoughts. My bet is that you know people who experience that same feeling of being surrounded by these lies. So I want you to take these cards and I want you to hand them out. Again, we could have mailed them out and spent thousands on postage. Instead, I'd rather put one in your hand and you pray and you personally take responsibility for inviting someone to this next series. And on the back is a list of all the activities and events that we have going on in the next couple of months, just ways that you can be strengthened and built up as a disciple. So pick one of these up or several as you go out this door or at the back. And if you don't, the ushers will put one in your hands, okay? Why don't you stand now, greet one another, and know somebody's name. And, also, we've got Micah Tyler, the Christian artist, is coming in. And put that screen up. We have a slide up. Oh, hey, there's Micah right there. Micah's going to be here, and we are selling tickets to his concert outside. We're going to play this video. Let's know what's the date, Brian?
It's me, Micah Tyler, and we are 321 Improv, and we're coming your way on September 29th.
Yeah, this is going to be really fun, guys. Your boy from Texas right here is headlining his very first tour, and we are coming to your church. It's going to be such a special night, and we're calling it A Different Kind of Night.
It's going to be a great night. We do improv, so we take your suggestions and make it up as we go. It's going to be a ton of fun.
These guys are stinking hilarious. You're going to love what they do. And then after some comedy, you get a concert, man. I'm going to come up there and play some of the hits you've heard on the radio, as well as some old songs and some new songs you haven't heard yet because they're on a new record that hasn't come out yet. Super, super excited about it, and you do not want to miss it.
Yeah, so to get some tickets, head on over to your local church office or MicahTyler.com.
That local church office is right outside. We got a desk. Bring someone to that Micah Tyler concert and the comedy that's going to be a part of it as well. Go outside and get tickets. Go in peace. And may the God of peace go with you.